Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Monday, October 24th, 2022. Our top story today, Mayor Lori Lightfoot in Chicago announced her promotions of members of her staff, a digital staff that will be handling some of her major digital work. This is a critical point. So many who are now recognizing the importance of their digital platform. So today in Chicago, Mayor Lori Lightfoot announced Jose Ortiz will serve as Director of Digital Strategy and Dora Meza will serve as Deputy Director of Digital Strategy. Ortiz is a talented marketing and digital strategist specializing in capturing stories through impactful videos and photography production. Meza is a skilled writer and content creator focused on driving an effective digital narrative across social media platforms. Mayor Lori Lightfoot said, I am proud to welcome Jose and Dora into their new roles and look forward to my continued work with them. They both have demonstrated their commitment to our city and their talent for digital strategy and content creation. I am confident they will find creative and engaging ways to connect with our residents and ensure our city is informed. As Director of Digital Strategy, Jose Ortiz will lead Mayor Lightfoot's innovative digital effort, integrating the digital program with traditional communications methods and connecting Chicago's residents with information through creative and accessible digital content. Said Ortiz regarding his promotion, I am extremely grateful and excited to see Mayor Lightfoot's Director of Digital Strategy. Chicago is my home and has always been the center of the stories I've told. I look forward to working alongside other talented folks that are as passionate about the city as I am and share the mayor's vision in new innovative ways. Ortiz and Meza joined the Lightfoot administration in 2022, serving as Deputy Director of Digital Strategy and Social Media Strategist, respectively. I want to thank Mayor Lightfoot for this incredible opportunity. The digital realm not only allows for innovative ways to engage with Chicagoans and keep them informed, but also allows for the opportunity to share the great work being done for residents. I'm incredibly excited to take this new role and continue to represent the city I love, said Dora Meza. Prior to their career in the city, Ortiz worked at TechNexus Venture Collaborative, leading their marketing efforts. He has also worked with a number of clients as freelance videographer. Including the Chicago Blackhawks and Chicago Sky. Meza was a copywriter at Purple Group and led several social media initiatives for a variety of clients. Prior to this role, Meza was an intern at Technomic, where she researched restaurant trends and wrote articles for Restaurant Business Magazine and the Canadian Restaurant and Food Service News Magazine. Ortiz is of Puerto Rican and Dominican descent and a Chicago native. He graduated from DePaul University, where he studied digital cinema, public relations, and advertising. In his free time, you can find him photographing Chicago's 77 neighborhoods, hanging out in Humboldt Park, and lending his digital talents as a volunteer for a Paseo podcast, a podcast show that highlights stories of the Puerto Rican community in the Chicago diaspora and beyond. Meza is a graduate of North Central College and has called Chicago home for 5 years. Dora enjoys playing the flute, biking, and traveling. She lives in Lincoln Park with her 17-year-old cat, Raven. And that's news from the mayor's office in Chicago. In other news, Black Doctor Org reports on a very common practice in parenting that may need to be reconsidered. In an article entitled Whoopings, Tough Love or Poor Parenting, BlackDoctor.org examines the practice of using physical punishment, corporal punishment, hitting the body as a means to get children to obey commands. Well, as much as many are claiming that it was simply tough love and necessary, this article states, the good book says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Whoopings, spankings, or however you grew up defining discipline is often seen as a rite of passage in the Black community. Some people feel like a good old whooping made them the responsible, mature adults they are now. But is spanking your child really the way to go in 2020 and beyond? A study conducted by the University of Texas at Austin and the University of Michigan found that children who were spanked are more likely to exhibit antisocial behavior, experience mental health issues, and show aggression. But if you ask a lot of Black parents, if a whooping gets the point across like no other timeout or grounding can, Dr. Parker says the term whooping generally denotes certain cultural characteristics that assert putting someone on the correct path, whether it is a child that misbehaves at school, an employee that receives a written reprimand, or a friend who may have overstepped their boundaries. The concept of spanking, conversely, has, from a historical context, been viewed as a means to correct children's behavior. While a number of studies are dated, the one I have referred to above is a 1994 study that indicated that violent elementary school boys that come from fatherless families or families where fathers do not demonstrate adequate affection to their boys and who utilize spanking as a form of corporal punishment tend to become more violent. The primary reason I utilize this resource, says Dr. Parker, is that it identifies several other characteristics, as I mentioned. Most notably, for me, the lack of a father in the household or the lack of fatherly affection. Both identified variables pose a significant challenge to answering the question of whether spanking is wrong. To be clear, yes, child abuse is wrong. However, spanking done under certain parameters may be the proper way to raise one's child, says Dr. Parker. However, without the father in the home or connected to the family unit, somehow demonstrating proper affection to the child's family members, spanking one's child could have long-term punitive consequences for boys in particular. This rather old study, yet still a relevant one, makes the inference that long-term behavioral consequences could include violent behavior or even more aggressive behavior toward peers and or siblings. Some of us, including me, grew up getting a spanking with a switch and or a paddle. Most, if not all, of my spankings included the perfunctory statement, this will hurt me more than it hurts you, conversations afterwards, which always led to a detailed explanation as to why I was being punished and what I should have done to avoid making that bad decision that I made. As a child, it was hard to delineate between the carrot and the stick. All I knew was that I would not do that again. As a man of 45 years of age, I can recall with clarity having many friends that fell into the category of not having a father at home or available to them and thus were more apt to things of the world. Some of those friends even found their way into the justice system, which utilizes all forms of punishment. Continues Dr. Parker, the balanced approach to child governance stabilizes the family unit, whether living at home or living elsewhere. His presence is essential to child rearing, and his absence is sorely missed in any conversation of corporal punishment. As a father, I have attempted to identify other means to regulate behavior, including taking away electronic devices such as TV, iPod, iPad, Xboxes, and other mechanisms that these 21st century children, like mine, hold dear to their heart. What I realize is I am really looking to get their attention and utilize the uneasiness of not having ready access to their devices to regulate their behavior, which for the most part has been successful for me. Is spanking your child wrong? It depends on your situation, your constant state of mind, non-angry, and most importantly, your child's emotional and psychological well-being. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you view it, the conversation is all relative to who you are as parents, what your belief system is, and how you effectively communicate with your children and loved ones. If you are able to perform the task in love and no anger or malice, then it may work. Short of that, you should possibly perform a quick Google search. I did one for this interview, and I found 25 nonviolent discipline options. Of course, this means you need to make sure that you care enough to do the research. And the long-term effects of parenting. Dr. Henderson says, he's agreeing with spankings on the hands or bottom. However, whooping children in 2016 is antiquated and the result of poor parenting. I won't go as far as to say it's wrong, but any parent that is still whooping their child has failed to teach and provide a healthy example of right or wrong for their child. Parents should be aware of best practice research that says whooping does teach aggression and bullying of others and does not prevent the child from doing the same thing again. Now, this was from an article from the website blackdoctor.org, and you can read more on Dr. Henderson's words on whooping. Is it tough love or poor parenting? Well, this is a topic. We'll see the aggressive behavior in our youth, and many are believing that what is needed is more whoopings. However, with the absence of that particular form of correcting behavior or redirecting behavior, most adults are nearly clueless as to what to do. Soon will be the announcement of a new parenting program entitled Parenting for Peace, which gives people who are unsure as what to do when they're seeking to raise their child without being spankings, beatings, or any other form of corporal punishment, whatever it's called, they may enroll in a class that will give them the skills they need. stay tuned for that announcement here on Air Daily News. You can call in if you see someone performing a good news. 515-605-9749. If you see good deeds happen, we want you to share that information. Do you see someone helping a stranger? Do you see someone performing a service unasked? Do you see someone making life better for others? There are more people performing good deeds than there are creating disruption. Our images in the multimedia systems that project reality give us an imbalanced view. There are certainly good people doing good things, and we want to give the good people an opportunity to get the exposure. You can also see more good news as it happens all around the world on the Facebook page, Get Inspired. Simply go to Facebook and type in Get Inspired, and you can get inspired with stories of people helping animals helping people, helping animals, and all of nature and humanity working in harmony for the good of all. It actually does exist right here on planet Earth, and you can see reports of it every day right on the Facebook page, Get Inspired. Recently, the celebration of Indigenous Peoples Day was a sub-controversy in some cities across the United States. Some held celebrations. Some dismissed the traditional Columbus Day celebrations in lieu of focusing on the acknowledgement of Indigenous people and their presence in America long before the appearance of Christopher Columbus or any other European. What should we be teaching our children in the classroom? Are we failing to teach truth? And are we misguiding them and not preparing them for when they actually learn what happened and will realize, quite frankly, they've been lied to? In yesterday's edition of Three Black Moms TV show, this topic was discussed, and many were concerned that there are those that are still being taught the unfortunate misconception that Christopher Columbus discovered America, when in fact, as far as facts go, he never to the mainland. As a matter of fact, he got to the islands and then found that he was not wherever he was intending to go, the West Indies, but never made it to the mainland. This also is something that has not been talked about. Indigenous of the Cherokee Nation joined Three Black Moms in discussing the topic, Indigenous Peoples Day. Should it replace the Columbus Day holiday? And here are a few of her remarks regarding how you should teach the children about this day and how you can address the real issue of the brutality, the violence the killing that the encounters with Europeans actually brought to this land.
It doesn't make people accountable for the horrors that they inflicted on the people. How do we teach it? And Cheyenne, because you're kind of the generation that just is coming at the point where things are being challenged.
Mm-hmm. My Generation Z.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, see, one of the things I believe that kids should be taught is the truth. You can teach young children stuff in a way that is not horrible, but they still need to learn. So they won't be shocked when they get into middle school. Like, oh, this is really terrible. I never knew that. Was everyone just telling me a lie this whole entire time? Why are we celebrating Thanksgiving? What is happening here? And I know for a fact, I live at least, people are definitely challenging that we should teach the children the truth.
So how do you teach that, which happened to the kindergartners? Because I know that's kind of when we first started, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. I mean, that's when they start teaching a lie. So at what age do you tell the truth? I mean, and how do you?
First, he had to not tell the children that he discovered anything, right? Mm. He didn't even land in America, and there's people already living here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they should be taught. And then over time, eventually, later on, you can talk about, oh, you know, what happened.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with what the first Thanksgiving was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a whole nother conversation about how they celebrated Thanksgiving with, you know, we all did the little pilgrim hats and the, you know.
Yeah, that was an art project.
Mm-hmm. Instead of the reason why the indigenous people helped these pilgrims, because not only were they starving, they were digging up the corpses of the indigenous people's children and or their bodies and eating them. They were starving.
Oh, real horrible.
Wow. I was looking to tell the kindergartners.
But you know what you can't tell them? You can't tell, you know, there's a lot of things.
You can say how the Native Americans were very helpful to the pilgrims who were leaving their country mainly to escape religious persecution, and then they came into this country, and so many of them died on the ship on the way over. Many of them died that first year living in America, and the Native Americans actually helped them. They fed them. They taught them how to roast corn. There are a lot of things that are left out of the history books that need to be explained.
Well, the whole thing about religious persecution is actually not they weren't being heard
much later.
But. Yes, no, they wanted religion to be more strict. So they came over here because the religions weren't strict enough where they were coming from. So they weren't being persecuted because they wanted more, you know, the Puritans and the Pilgrims, they wanted things to be a lot more strict. And when they came here, you know, to form their own country, whatever, because the Native Americans or the indigenous people, because it wasn't America, the indigenous people helped them, but that also came back to bite them in the butt, because what they Thanksgiving came when they started celebrating after they would annihilate an indigenous nation.
Yes. So now also there were the kinds of people that were coming over here. Not everybody was coming here for religious freedom. When the prisons of Europe got overrun and they needed to let some people out, they were given an option. We can let you out, but you got to get out of here. You can go overseas, and that's what's going to happen to you. But we're not. We're not letting you stay here anymore. So you can
to another place.
Right.
So they were not sending their best people.
that was the conversation on Three Black Moms. You can watch that on YouTube, the YouTube channel, Three Black Moms, and also on Facebook, Three Black Moms. This program was entitled Indigenous Peoples Day, Should It Replace the Columbus Day Holiday? Well, in coming up on Thanksgiving in November, that also arises. And also part of the discussion was the issue of Halloween. Is it distasteful to portray Indigenous people in a costume? The Pocahontas costume was very popular, especially when the Disney film was first introduced. And there are a number of sports teams that also have the names of Native American nations. Is this insulting? Is this distasteful? What should we teach our children so that everyone's culture is respected? And do we need a reconciliation, a way to expose what everyone has done here in America to each other? How do we address the wrongs that have been done, the original wrong done with those who came to explore and colonize a nation of free people and later annihilated those who gave them a helping hand? How do we teach that history? How do we honor the indigenous people? How do we make sure we remove symbols of dishonor? As we move toward the Halloween celebration, there are a number of costumes that children wear depicting indigenous people that could be seen as insulting. And then there are, as we move into the Thanksgiving holiday, there's the question of how do we form this story? And is it accurate based on the history of violence surrounding the Native American community and its interaction with the Europeans? How do we teach the history of America and its relationship with the indigenous people? Does America need a Truth and Reconciliation Council in the way that South Africa formed one to heal the wounds of apartheid? It's a question to ponder. Give us a call, 515-605-9749. If your organization is presenting some helpful solutions to some of the challenges of reconciling the many groups of people and the diverse communities so that everyone can live together in peace and mutual respect. Well, that's all for today. I'm Naima Latif, and this is your on-air daily news for Monday, October 24th, 2022. Go to onaireverywhere.com and keep up with the latest daily news. That's www.onaireverywhere.com. And you can listen every day live at www.blogtalkradio.com/onairnews. All for now. Enjoy the rest of your day.